Okay, one of the things that I noticed in their environmental impact statement was that the Navy said they're the lead agency, and then they list the National Marine Fisheries Service as a cooperating agency. Then now we see the National Marine Fisheries Service giving an exemption to the Navy. Is there some self-dealing going on here?
It's a fairly close relationship between the Navy and the Fisheries Service. I think, the Fisheries Service believes that it's enforcing the law. But in our judgment, what they're doing really is accommodating the Navy's concern and ignoring what Congress prescribed in the law. The language is very clear. The exception is supposed to be quite narrow for very limited activities in terms of their scope and the marine mammals affected. And this is probably the largest single application in terms of marine mammals and geographic scope ever considered under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. It simply is not a small take.
Okay, so procedurally, what next?
The next step is for the court to issue a decision on the motion for a preliminary injunction. That will determine whether or not the status quo is maintained during the pendency of the lawsuit. In other words, whether or not the Navy can proceed to deploy while the case is pending. Based on the hearing on Friday, I think everyone is interested in seeing what the judge does. It's very hard to predict. She seemed quite well-informed and very, very interested in the issue, and is clearly going to take it quite seriously.
Has the Navy set a deployment date?
They've told the court that they need to deploy the system by November 1st, and so that's the deadline that is driving the current preliminary injunction schedule.
Any indication as to why? I mean, I don't think Saddam Hussein has a whole fleet of high-tech submarines.
The Navy claims that they need this for extended range submarine detection. Their strategic justifications are largely classified, and it's not a matter that has been made available for public review or comment. Virtually all of the debate is focused on the environmental issues, but I think there are very serious questions that can be asked about how this system, which was devised during the Cold War to deal with the Soviet submarine threat, how this system has any relevance in today's world. The Navy claims that it does, but there really hasn't been any detailed response to questions that we and others have raised about its strategic viability.
Did the Navy argue environmental law, or did they just get up there and shriek national security, national security?
They've argued very strongly that it's necessary for national defense, but they have also responded to our arguments under each of the environmental laws. We don't think they've responded persuasively, but again, that will be determined by the judge.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm rolling now. If you just give me your name and organizational affiliation, please.
Yeah, Steve Erickson. I'm the director of the Citizens Education Project in Salt Lake City.
And that organization does what?
We're a nonprofit organization that educates the public on issues of social, environmental, and economic justice.
Okay, basically the one question I'm most interested in asking you is, can you give me a description of the proliferation of these BSL labs, that there's going to be more threes and fours? Particularly, is this a response to 9/11, or is this something that's been in the planning for years?
Oh, it's our sense that this expansion of laboratory capacity within the Defense Department and other departments of government has been in the works for a number of years, probably dating to about 1995. Certainly the intensity and speed of these developments has picked up since 9/11, 2001.
And any figures on how many they plan to build or anything like that?
Well, the last count we had was about 14 that were being proposed in various locations by any one of four major cabinet-level departments within the U.S. government. There are some indications now that the National Institutes of Health will be backing off in terms of the numbers of biological safety level 4 laboratories, but intends instead to renovate and perhaps build additional biological level 3 laboratories.
I notice that the members of this coalition are all from the western states. Is there a desire to dump these things in the west?
No, I think that's more coincidence, and just that we tend to network better amongst ourselves, perhaps. There are also labs being proposed in the east, and in particular, those associated with U.S. AMRIID at Fort Detrick, which is the Army's end of the biological defense research programs.
And didn't we tie the anthrax attacks to that organization?
Well, that's certainly the allegation and the suspicion, and that would include also perhaps involvement by the Dugway Proving Ground, which is under the authority of U.S. AMRIID. Also, perhaps the Battelle Corporation, a contractor with the Army and the DOD.
The what corporation?
Battelle.
Bechtel?
No, Battelle. It's B-A-T-E-L-L-E. They're headquartered in Columbus.
Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
How's it going, your citizens' education project? How is it going with educating the citizens? Are they responding?
Well, I think that we're getting the information out. Whether or not it will have much of an impact immediately on the plans to expand missions and activities at Dugway remains to be seen. But recently, Utah State University, which had proposed to chase after the funding for a biological safety level 4 laboratory, has decided to withdraw from that process. So maybe making a little progress.
Okay, anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.